Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
During the 2022 legislative session, we saw changes to the state standardized testing. And with these changes, we were all hopeful that there would be a decline in testing time. However, what I can report from on the ground is that that is not happening. Here in Escambia County, many of our schools have to do progress monitoring on top of state testing. So actually, our students are spending more time in testing, not less, this year.
Well, that is a discouraging thing to hear. That was Carol Cleaver, the Vice President of Escambia Education Association, and an 8th grade science teacher, talking about at the Escambia Legislative Delegation about how all this plan to reduce testing by having different tests has actually led to more testing, which is a problem. And her ask of the legislative delegation was,
we need to ensure that students are not overwhelmed with the duplicative state and district assessments so that we can focus on what is important, which is actually teaching our students content.
Well, good. Yeah, I mean, that is the goal. So I appreciate her raising the concern. And I don't necessarily have the ability to go into a classroom and measure every week, you know, how much time is being spent on testing and test prep compared to educating. The goal, just as a, I don't know, I'm always, as a philosopher, I'm always kind of like the stand back and look at what's the purpose of this thing. And, you know, remember that the purpose of a test is that a test is supposed to figure out where you stand. A test is never supposed to be, at least, you know, in theoretical land, a test is never supposed to be a thing that you prepare for, because the test is just like, you know, when the inspector comes in to see if the roof is properly built, you're not supposed to, like, prepare for that and do extra special things to make sure the roof looks good. He's just supposed to show up and look, like, you know, at a restaurant. You know, the health inspector should just show up and look at what you do on a daily basis. If you get a call 15 minutes early and says, hey, health inspector's coming, get ready. Well, you know, that's kind of missing the point. Of course, everything looks perfect when you know the health inspector is coming. Same thing for a test. Tests are not supposed to be things that you prepare for. They're supposed to be things that assess where you are, because the difference between where you would be had you not known there was an evaluation coming and where you are because you had a week to prepare for it are very different. Whether you're talking about big assessment testing or whether you're talking about just individual regular old testing and quizzes you get in a class. So anyway, the whole concept of preparing for the test is, I mean, what does that tell a person on the other end? You know, what does that tell a potential employer? What does that tell the high school teacher of the middle school students? Well, it tells them that at this point in time, we worked real hard to make sure they could get above a minimum threshold. It tells you nothing about where they are now or where they were normally, except for that extra prep, right? You bulked up for the moment. Anyway, just a, you know, I object to this whole concept. I don't know that I have a great substitute for you, but the very idea of evaluative testing that you know in advance when it's coming and that you prepare for it is completely missing the point of evaluative testing. 614 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, man, do I want to get into this? I kind of want to stir up some trouble that I don't really want to stir up trouble on. So I'm conflicted. All right, here goes. The League of Women Voters. My grandma was a member of the League of Women Voters. And at one time in this world, the League of Women Voters was exactly what they say they are.
I'm here representing the League of Women Voters of Florida. The League is a nonpartisan grassroots statewide organization. We don't support any party or any candidate, but we advocate on issues after we study them carefully and come to consensus.
Yeah, that's weird anyway, right? Because all the significant issues are going to involve a partisan dimension, right? So if you say you come to conclusions about issues, that means that you're going to have a partisan lean. Okay, and the problem with the League of Women Voters, that's Paula Montgomery at the legislative delegation. She says, you know, we don't pick a party, we don't pick candidates or anything like that. Well, the problem is that for the longest time, the League of Women Voters has been leaning heavier and heavier to the left. It I wish I didn't have to say it, because a lot of these women do such good work. And historically, the organization did such good work. But this crops up when you have somebody saying we're nonpartisan, and also when you have them running the question and answers for the candidates, you know, like in the WSRE forums. And yet the lean is so strong to the left. And she says they picked four issues. I'll come back after the traffic report and tell you what they are. And you decide if you think I'm mischaracterizing them. Jake's got traffic on the fives.
We're looking great so far this morning. I-10 and I-110 is checking in clear. 98 in Navarre and Gulf Breeze is flowing smoothly. Also, Highway 90 in Milton and Pace is showing no slowdowns. I'm now seeing on the map here, looks like North Palafox heading west at Texars. There's something going on there kind of in both directions.
Tahar.
No
worries.
I've said Texar ever since I've moved here, so now I know. Thank you. We're going to have a lot of those little moments. So if you have any traffic info to report, or if I'm mispronouncing the name of the street you live on, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. You know, talking about the testing thing real quick, going back to that, I remember in school it was always, hey, guys, this is going to be on the test, and everybody would just write that one thing down.
Right.
And sometimes they would even print out everything that was going to be on the test, just the way it was going to be on the test, so all we had to do was memorize that and come in.
It doesn't accomplish the general purpose of education,
right,
or even the specific purpose of creating expertise within a field of study that you were supposed to have. It just creates the ability to answer these questions in this way of test giving at that particular time.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
Great input. Thank you. So back to this League of Women Voters thing. Again, let me be clear. Long time ago, 20, 30 years ago, the League of Women Voters was a great organization that was, in fact, nonpartisan. And just basically what they did was work on issues related to, access to voting and voting integrity. OK, over the years, however, it has migrated very steadily and heavily to the left. And it is now an advocacy group for the left. It is not a down the middle of the road, neutral, nonpartisan. And as evidence, OK, again, Paula Montgomery. And look, I have no problem with advocacy groups. I have no problem with people taking a leftist point of view. I mean, I disagree with them, but they're entitled to First Amendment. No problem. But don't take a left-leaning view and then describe yourselves as, nonpartisan, middle of the road. It'd be like me saying I'm nonpartisan. It's ridiculous. You'd laugh at me. Well, okay, so what are the issues of importance to the League of Women Voters, according to Paula Montgomery last week?
Please remove the voter suppression elements from SB 90. I think you know what I mean, and I'll be glad to go through the whole bill with you if you like and tell you. Take this one out. Please support state funding for the return postage on vote-by-mail ballots.
Okay, so that Senate bill had to do with vote-by-mail and ballot drop boxes and election integrity, a Republican bill that Democrats hated. League of Women Voters wants that bill repealed or severely, changed. Why? Well, that's a partisan issue. Well, even if they're right, it's still a partisan issue, okay? Number two.
Under education, we support a curricular framework that has broad common standards developed by education experts, including historic mandates on teaching Holocaust, anti-Semitism, African-American history, and with all the associated messages of tolerance and understanding of others.
Now, that, as stated, is not a partisan issue. We all agree about that. The question is, why would that be the number two priority for League of Women Voters? Because the allegation from the left is that DeSantis and the Republicans have restricted the teaching of these things and made it, a problem. So that is a, in this state, Democrat point of view about what Republicans are doing. But those are not the obvious ones. I mean, those are like first two. Okay, fine. You say, well, what else could there possibly be? Here, listen.
Under the heading of reproductive health and justice, we ask you to defend against any targeted regulation of abortion providers, TRAPs. These people are, we don't want them singled out, the doctors who provide abortions. We don't want laws singling out medical practices of doctors who provide abortions.
So we don't want any law that restricts doctors' ability to perform abortions.
Please defend against further taxpayer funding of the anti-abortion pregnancy crisis centers, which give out false information to people who come there for help.
Don't provide funding to crisis pregnancy centers, and?
And we ask you to defend against the passage of any barriers to access to abortion.
Is that nonpartisan? That's, You might be reading from any leftist standards, any party platform from the Democratic Party. Now, that's fine. I don't mind somebody advocating for a liberal point of view other than the fact that I disagree with it. But you can't say we are nonpartisan and then go through and make the list of, and here's all of the completely partisan, just objective consensus evaluation of these issues that our whole group stands for. It is not a nonpartisan group. And you say, Andrew, well, okay, I get it. The abortion one is pretty obvious. Well, that wasn't all. There was a fourth one. What do you think it's going to be? You want to take a stab in the dark? What would be one of the most partisan divided issues in this country right now? We hear stories about it every single day.
Besides abortion?
Oh, yeah.
Man, I don't know.
As soon as I play it, you'll know.
Yeah.
The fourth issue is gun violence.
So what do you think their position on gun violence is?
Restriction.
I think it's abundantly clear that we need to do something. In Maine this week, 18 people were shot down with somebody with an assault-type weapon. Anyway, those weapons should be banned for the citizens of our state and our United States. Those weapons should just be banned for purchase or possession. And our background checks, those should be expanded and enforced. And the waiting periods for buying a firearm.
Totally nonpartisan. So, look, listen to the original description.
I'm here representing the League of Women Voters of Florida. The League is a nonpartisan, grassroots, statewide organization. We don't support any party or any candidate, but we advocate on issues after we study them carefully and come to consensus.
Just to be clear, in case I didn't already say it three times, I have no problem with Paula Montgomery speaking to the legislative delegation, advocating for her organization's views, even if those views are heavily to the left. None of that is a problem. But don't then also tell me you're nonpartisan. Don't then also be the go-to resource when we're coming up with debate questions for Democrats and Republicans when we're doing these candidate forums, unless you want to be obvious and say, okay, this is a Democrat perspective on these debates. Because that's the reason they tend to write the questions, is because they're looked to historically as a nonpartisan. They are not a nonpartisan organization, which again is fine, but you can't have it both ways. 622 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division for fun, call Benakis & Associates. Now in the historic district on 120 South Alkanes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates. Leave the numbers to the experts.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home of the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters, today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9. They'll be discussing the Atlas Beverage Class, Thanksgiving, holiday hours, Angelina's champagne dinner, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's today at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
What'd you do this time, Brad?
I'm in the doghouse after my hunting trip last weekend.
Yeah, I was too. I blew off our date.
How'd you get out of the doghouse?
Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. I got her a gift card. It took 3 minutes at swmedspa.com. She booked it this Saturday.
Saturday? So 9 holes then?
Tea time's at 8.
To enjoy a hassle-free guys weekend, treat her to a gift card from Stillwater's Day and Medical Spa. Follow Stillwater's on Facebook or Instagram to enter contests and win great prizes. Or visit swmedspa.com.
As a small business owner, what keeps you up at night? Just knowing if your email got hacked or your phone system went down, it could cost you thousands in revenue, as well as your reputation. That's where Data Revolution comes in with their unique position to take care of you and your business IT support, phone systems, cybersecurity, and more. Secure it and sleep better at night by going to datarevs.com. Winner of the 2021 Best of the Bay for IT support, datarevs.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get the Midday News live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
I see dead people.
Good morning, 626 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. Jake has got our traffic on the fives. Jake, tell him about the roads.
You're just not ready to let go of Halloween yet, are you?
No, I've got leftover sound clips I'm trying to work in. No, I do.
We're looking great so far this morning. 98 is clear from Navarre through Gulf Breeze. 3 Mile Bridge not showing any delays. It might be a little windy still this morning, so be careful. Longleaf Drive, Mobile Highway, Pine Forest Road, North Blue Angel Highway, everything's checking in clear. If you do have any traffic info to report, however, text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. Into the newsroom now with David Wayne with our headlines. David?
Egypt is opening the Rafah crossing today at the Gaza's southern border for the first time since the Israel-Hamas war began. Some 400 foreign and dual citizens, along with dozens of injured Palestinians, are expected to cross into Egypt today. President Biden headed north, about as north as you can go. He's going to be in Minnesota visiting a farm where he's expected to announce more than $5 billion in rural infrastructure investments. And on a local note, Escambia County looking into a new ordinance that would ban people from interfering with the flow of traffic, apparently by standing in medians. This law looks to be aimed at panhandlers.
There was a young man standing right in the middle of the road, walking up and down between the cars. And if anyone didn't give him something, attention, money, food, he was flipping them off, giving the one finger salute.
And Jeff Burgosh, county commissioner there, he talked with Channel 3 about the proposal. He says the penalties for violating this proposed ordinance could be as much as a $500 fine or 60 days in jail. And there is an upcoming public hearing about this.
Yeah, they're going to talk about it on Thursday. Because when I first heard this story, I thought, wait a minute, we just did all this conversation about panhandling in Santa Rosa County and Escambia County, right? And so as a result of that, I had read all of the ordinances recently. And my first reaction to this story is, I don't understand. It's already illegal to stand on the median in Escambia County. And it's a $500 fine. And I read it, and I'm like, yeah, that's... So I couldn't see how this was even a news story, you know, I did some checking and reading, and the idea is, remember how we talked with Sheriff Chip Simmons about how the current ordinance in Escambia County, hard to enforce because it's probably not constitutional?
Yes.
Well, I was just checking with him, and he says ECSO has been working with the county to come up with a revised ordinance that would meet constitutional muster and would be enforceable, and that's what this is. It doesn't create for the first time the no stand on the median and $500 penalty. What it does is it revises the structure of the county ordinances. It deletes some of the references to panhandling and you know, soliciting, and it basically tries to clarify that certain kinds of behavior are still protected, like on a sidewalk, and that the purpose of this is to reduce the impedance of traffic flow. So it is taking the idea of what we currently have in law and turning it into a, we hope, theoretically, constitutionally justifiable version of controlling something like panhandling because people standing in the median impeding traffic. That's the idea. So I was thrown by this because I'm like, why is Jeff Burgosh getting all excited about something that already exists? Well, it already exists, but in a way that might be problematic in court. That's the idea. So good. I'm glad they're definitely working on this, which is a great thing.
All right.
All right. Was that it? Was that your third one?
That was what I had, and thank you for the clarifications.
Absolutely.
On that.
6:30 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Santa Rosa County drama.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm ready. I'm ready.
Worth it.
Spill that tea.
We'll talk about that coming up. David, what do you have coming up in your news, sir?
Well, it's a bad day for burning. We'll tell you why after Fox.
Jalosi. For the first time since the war started, the Rafah crossing from Gaza into Egypt is open, accepting hundreds of people with foreign passports and seriously wounded Palestinians.
Just short time ago, we saw that fleet of ambulances going across the border from Egypt into Gaza to pick up some of those critically injured Palestinians.
That's Fox's Jonathan Hunt. FBI Director Christopher Wray warned Tuesday that the Israel-Hamas war raised the potential for an attack against Americans.
We assess that the actions of Hamas and its allies will serve as an inspiration, the likes of which we haven't seen since ISIS launched its so-called caliphate several years ago.
Republicans say the threat is being amplified by a lack of security at the southern border. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3 right now, 44 degrees. A little bit chilly this morning here in Pensacola. The city of Pensacola targeting the end of January for a planned police substation on the city's north side. Yesterday, leaders from the city and Pensacola State College said that the PPD substation would be located in Building 5 on campus, in previously unused space by Pensacola State College police.
It's not just an office somewhere. It is all of the servers. It's these partnerships that allow this to happen. And what's really great is this is not opinion, it's fact that citizens in the city of Pensacola are safer in 90 days than they were before.
And that is Mayor D.C. Reeves. While renovations to that facility should be wrapped up soon, it should take the city about 90 days for the technology and infrastructure to be ready to go. A Pensacola man with 10 prior felony convictions has now been charged in a shooting that happened last weekend. 29-year-old Damian Joseph was arrested on Monday. He faces multiple charges, including attempted murder. Reports show Joseph was at a home with several other people when he allegedly approached someone and asked for money. When that person said they didn't have it, Joseph then allegedly started shooting. The victim said a second suspect was also there in shooting. The victim was not harmed in the gunfire. Joseph now being held without bond at the Escambia County Jail. Well, the collection for 2023 property taxes in Escambia County starts today.
Bills from the tax collector's office were delivered to the post office yesterday for mailing. Residents that make their payments in November will save 4% off their bills, and that reduces by 1% each month until March. Payments made in March will receive no discount, and the gross amount is due by close of business March 31st of 2024.
That is News Radio's Joe Ford. Florida Senator Marco Rubio says the southern border is a migratory crisis of epic proportions.
Iran has tried to conduct operations inside this country, and we know for a fact that Hezbollah has invested in the same capability, the ability to attack Americans here in the homeland for assassination, for mass casualties, as a point of leverage against us, just like these attacks by proxies in the Middle East is a weapon they have.
And Rubio was on Fox News Hannity last night. He says over 900,000 people have entered the country illegally in the last year. Rubio believes the Biden administration's policies are putting the nation at risk. DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas recently confirmed to U.S. senators that there have been more than 600,000 gotaways at the southern border for fiscal 2023. South Carolina Senator Tim Scott is now qualified for the third GOP presidential debate next week in Miami. Scott's team confirming that news yesterday and announcing that he'd met the polling and the donation requirements to land a spot on the debate stage. That debate will be held November 8th, just 9 weeks before the Iowa caucuses. Joining Scott in that debate will be, of course, Governor Ron DeSantis, former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, businessman Vivek Ramaswamy, and former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Former President Trump, again, not planning to participate in the next debate. 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the 5s. Jake, what are you seeing?
North Palafox and Tehar Drive. A little slow in both directions in front of Strikers there, but otherwise, everything's looking good. Avalon Boulevard is clear through Garson Point. Traffic on I-10 east and westbound is traveling at posted speeds, and no slowdowns reported on Gulf Breeze Parkway as of yet. This traffic report is brought to you by Pensacola Habitat for Humanity. Since 1981, Pensacola Habitat for Humanity has built over 1,500 homes in the Escambia Santa Rosa County area. However, their impact goes beyond building houses, reaching across the community with various programs and services aimed at transforming communities one homeowner at a time. Call 850-434-5456 for more information. If you have any traffic info to report, you can text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
We will have a very chilly morning in store with temperatures in the low 40s, upper 30s. As we go into the rest of the day, highs warming to 60 degrees with mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, another chilly night, temperatures dropping into the low 40s again. Sunny skies for Thursday with a high of 67. Thursday night, temperatures dropping back into the mid-40s. Slow warm-up as we go into Friday. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Right now, 42 in Pensacola, 43 in Gulf Breeze, and 42 in Milton. Our next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Jennifer Kashinko with Your Money Now. Tesla prevailed in one of the first trials over the involvement of its autopilot system in a fatal crash. A Southern California jury found there wasn't a manufacturing defect in the advanced driver assistance system of a Tesla that veered off an interstate and hit a tree outside of Los Angeles in 2019. The driver ultimately died of injuries suffered in the crash. But the narrow nature of the decision, jurors were asked to consider whether there was a manufacturing defect in a particular Tesla rather than a problem with the system design overall, means its implications for future litigation might be limited. One of the last big IPOs of the year just got delayed as the short-lived rebound in the new issue market unravels. Waystar was set to launch its roadshow to pitch investors this week, but is now not expected to do so until December at the earliest. The Wall Street Journal says the healthcare company, which at one point was expected to fetch a valuation in the high single billion digits. That's Your Money Now.
Our generation didn't wear bike helmets. We drank from the hose, rode in cars without seat belts, did things that are unthinkable today. But we're not invincible. These days we have doctor's appointments, multiple medications, and chronic conditions to manage. Fortunately, there's Teladoc Health. Teladoc Health brings together all of your healthcare into one program, including everything from primary care to chronic care management. Learn more at teladochealth.com. That's T-E-L-A-D-O-C health.com.
Exergen thermometers are the smart choice when selecting a thermometer. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Got a fever? Stay home. To detect fever accurately at home, you need a fast, non-invasive, and clinically accurate thermometer. The Exergen thermometer is backed by over 100 clinical studies. Accuracy matters. Be smart and safe. Measure accurately with Exergen thermometers. Available at Walmart and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com.
You love your car or truck, right? We love it too. This is Mike Ryan at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories. For a cooler summer and protections from harmful UV rays, we'll tint the windows. For safety and security, we have alarms, backup cameras, and dash cams. And for the most beautiful vehicle on the block, our full detailing service will make it look brand new. We have so many custom accessories, it's impossible to list them all here. So come see us at Mike Ryan's Truck and Auto Accessories on Industrial Boulevard at W Street, just north of Marcus Point Baptist Church.
News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 is accepting applications for employment. Periodically, we have openings in sales, business, news, promotions, engineering, production, and programming. We'll keep your application for consideration when such an opening occurs. We also provide internships for qualified students. Apply online at News Radio 92.3 or at our studios at 7251 Plantation Road between 8:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m. ADX Communications is an equal opportunity employer.
Do you want to stay up to date on the latest news, weather, and traffic, but don't have a radio nearby? Then you need to download our new app. With the News Radio Pensacola app, you can get text alerts for breaking news, severe weather, and traffic delays. Plus, customize your alerts so you only get the information you need. It's easy to sign up for text alerts. Just download our app, create an account, and select the alerts you want to receive. You can even change your settings at any time. So what are you waiting for? Download the News Radio Pensacola app today and start getting text alerts.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Any opportunity or chance we can get to save money, we need to jump on it. All these, and there was a clear issue here with miscommunication. And it's not going to hurt any of them to have to rebid. And so all it will do is save us and the taxpayers money.
I don't know how much more you could get wrong in 22 seconds if you're a county commissioner in Santa Rosa County, James Calkins. Background, what is the issue? They're going to put a new roof on, I think it's the county extension office. The particular office doesn't really matter, but needs a new roof. It's in the $100,000 vicinity. They put out for bids, and bids came back. As I recall, 9 came back, and 7 of them did their paperwork properly, and then they were going to pick the lowest bidder that was responsive to the demand, and then 2 did their paperwork improperly. And one of those complained. And so as a result, the county was like, well, I guess we could allow them to do the rebid process. And James Calkins gets up on his high horse and says, yeah, we're going to save money because they're all going to come in lower and we're going to save $15,000. And, you know, there was clear miscommunication from our side. So he blames staff for this. And then he says, and this won't hurt anybody, anything. Well, okay, it will, because two things. Number one, if you put out to rebid under these circumstances, and again, there's a lot more to these circumstances than he got wrong. But if you put out to rebid under these circumstances, you create an environment in which contractors, builders, applicants to various contracts for the county don't believe in this process anymore. That costs everybody. But also, you do cost somebody. You're costing those businesses their legitimate, appropriate, due wages for a contract when they engaged in the process in good faith, and you came back and changed it on them after the fact because somebody complained to you and you took up their side when they didn't know what they were doing and did it wrong. More on that in a second. So he's exactly wrong when he says it doesn't cost them anything. It definitely does cost them. Somebody's going to get paid less for this. That's the only way you can say that the citizens would save money. Now, maybe you say that's okay, but saying that the businesses don't suffer from this, they absolutely do. Nevertheless, he's sure he's right.
I'm going to stand strong on this issue.
Yeah, that might be a mistake. So Kerry Smith, Commissioner Kerry Smith, says, look, if you might save $15,000 now, but it might cost you $20,000 later. And doing something like this is really opening yourself up for problems.
When I see that somebody comes in there half cocked, not able, and I know that staff is out there ready to support them and show them exactly what needs to be done.
They could have gotten it right if they'd asked for help.
Putting it back out there and saying, oh, well, he had a boo-boo. We need to put it out for rebid. We're opening up Pandora's box. I'm not for that.
Exactly right.
This kind of stuff, it kind of reeks of a bid rigging situation.
It does.
That I'm not going to.
I know it's not.
I don't know what happened there. That was kind of weird. I lost my computer for a second.
I know it's not.
It's not bid rigging, but it kind of sounds like it. It smells like it. It looks like it. Like somebody's trying to get the fix in for their person. All right, so James Calkins, never content to go merely to 11 on stridency, goes to 12.
This is why folks do not trust the government, because a lot of times government wastes money.
Yeah, no. But that's not the case here. That's not the problem here.
Nobody in their right mind, nobody, and including you would not pay $15,000 more for a roof with the exact same reputable companies. You wouldn't do it in your household.
But they're not the exact same. That's the whole point. Some of them did not respond within the parameters of the request, and some of them did not show that they were up to the task of doing it, at least not this first time around. So he's putting what we call weasel words in philosophy into the conversation that are not actually justified. So the other commissioners give him what for over? Colton Wright, chairman.
So when we talk about price, we talk about doing business and doing contracts, I'm in the retail business. I also do repair work and service, right? And I deal with a lot of contractors as well. In my world, and I think in the world in general, price isn't everything, number one. There's a thing called value. Cheapest is not always best.
That's exactly right. And he goes on and say, look, if I had you come and take your example, Commissioner Calkins, I'm having somebody come repair my roof and it's going to be $100,000. You're saying I don't care other than the price? No, I care about the safety. I care about the warranty. I care about whether they're going to pick up the nails and hurt my kids because they didn't do their job properly. I do a bunch of things to consider the quality of the work in addition to just the price. And the bid package in this case that the person complained about afterwards that it didn't get accepted?
The Eve metal shall be 0.032 inches. And then it's just question mark written in handwriting with 0.027 to the side of it. Now, does that mean that the contractor bidding is saying, well, yeah, you're specking out 0.032, but we're going to give you 0.027 and thereby save you a bunch of money? I mean, just looking at this, it's kind of atrocious. It's not even a scope of work or given back as part of the bid package.
So they were rightly disqualified, even though they were the lowest bidder, because they didn't respond to the proposal, the request for proposal properly. And look, he says, you know, you can write something in and go at lower cost up front and then come back later and do a change order. That's exactly the kind of crap that costs government more money and that gets allegations of bid rigging in, because you fiddled with the rules to get them in on the front end so they could come in the back end and ask for change orders, raise the price, and make their profit that way. These are all the problems that we're trying to address. By the way, somebody texted me in and said, it is also ridiculous to say that putting in bids doesn't cost contractors money because of the time and the work that it takes them to put in the rebid. So it's going to cost them that as well. We'll come back to this in a second because we haven't even gotten to the good drama yet. This is just preface, okay? 647, Jake's got traffic on the fives.
And we're looking great so far this morning. Highway 90 in Milton and Pace, 98 in Gulf Breeze and Navarre. All checking in clear, I-10 and I-110 at posted speeds. This traffic report is brought to you by Lowe's. Shop Black Friday every day and get the best new deals all month long. Only at Lowe's, because Lowe's knows deals. If you have any traffic info to report, you can text 437-1620. This is News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Jake. So key things to know before we play this next series of clips. Number one, it was blind bids, right? It was sealed bids. So nobody knew what was in them, even the people receiving them from the county. Number two is that Commissioner Calkins has claimed that staff made a mistake and told the losing bidder, because they were disqualified because their bid was goofy, that the staff has told them that their bid was fine. And so the losing bidder believed that they had satisfied the requirements, and staff told them that they had. And he's been arguing that staff kind of bungled this, which Devan Cook, last meeting in the agenda review, had told him that was not true. But we're going to get into that right here.
I heard you say there was a miscommunication, and you said clear miscommunication. Help me and the rest of the board understand what exactly that clear miscommunication was, please.
There was one of the person that put in the bids basically sent a text to one of our staff members, and I don't want to say names of the staff members out of respect, but he basically said, is that all the bids, or is that all the is that all the stuff you need? And apparently she wrote back, yes, that's, you know, you're good. And so this gentleman apparently thought that he got all his stuff done.
How can she possibly tell him that his submission is good if it's sealed? Well, because she didn't tell him that was good. That's not what she said.
Let's remember that this was a sealed bid, right? So, and I'll ask Devan to clarify, but I don't know how a staff member receiving a text message, how they could answer that everything looks good and say anything like that, which I know that's not what was said, when they don't see what's bid until the bids are opened, if they're sealed bids.
That's exactly right. So did she really tell him that? And the answer is no.
The person had texted.
The actual text is Devan Cook.
We instructed our staff to no longer text. Everything needs to be done in email. The question was, is my paperwork in? And the staff member did text back and said, yes, your paperwork is in. This was prior to opening the bid.
By the way, that is a completely different message than your bid is good. Your paperwork has been submitted is nowhere close to the way James Calkins was describing it. He has clearly misrepresented what the staffer said. right? That's a problem to begin with.
This was prior to opening the bid, so there was no way to know if it was complete.
Exactly.
But just that the paperwork had come through our system, which is a downloadable system. So, you know, that was not anything that a staff member could have done differently, except to clarify that, yes, your paper's in, but I don't know if it's right. I mean, I guess she could have said that.
I mean, she could have been the... Yes, your paperwork has been submitted, but of course, sir, you understand, since I presume you're not an idiot, that, you know, we can't certify that the paperwork is good because I haven't seen it yet. I mean, like, it's just, of course not. And also, by the way, the two whose bids were weird and kind of got disqualified, they didn't show up at the pre-bid conference like the other firms did. He says their staff works really hard, right, to make sure there's fairness, and they are available to help. And the other company, by the way, that got disqualified came to them and said and learned what happened and said, oh, yeah, no, we can do better next time. I'm sorry. We will come to the pre-bid conference. We'll do better in our bids. We've learned from this, and we want to do business with the county in the future. Instead of the other one going to a commissioner, the aforementioned, complained, who then claimed that staff screwed up and went to pitch a fit about all of this. I mean, this is amazing. And so, okay, so you're looking at all this, you're thinking, what in the world is going on? You know, why is James Calkins taken up so aggressively for somebody who is so clearly in the wrong? Well, I know things. I'm not sure how much I can say. I've been told that the staffer, the female staffer who answered this text, is related to somebody who has previously criticized Commissioner Calkins in public forum. I have also been told that there may be some relationship between, you know, could be friends of somebody. So, because when somebody's that strident about something they're wrong about, you have to, and I don't want to believe that. I just want to believe he's wrong. I don't want to believe he's engaging in ill dealing. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather just believe he's wrong. That's easier to believe. I'm just telling you the hints and the notes and the comments that I have received indicate the other. So then Sam Parker gets into it with him and says, look, it's as clear as can be that staff didn't do anything wrong and that, you know, basically this one person, this one complainer thought they had a way in.
I was told that one of the particular companies was sitting, and we'll stay with the no name and nobody, okay? Was sitting in one of our employees' offices and says, I'm going to call a certain commissioner. I won't name that person either. Because they were upset about the way the bids happened.
And if that's all you got to do when you lose a bid.
It would seem like every time if we got bids and the low bidder or whatever, if a guy didn't do it and he called me and I advocated or whatever and I went to Devan and we just rejected him, then there is no credibility to the system at all.
I mean, 100%, 100%. And coming from the Commissioner Calkins, who previously had pitched a fit to high heaven about how we were circumventing a process, which he deliberately misused in order to punish somebody and, you know, that he didn't like and to get a thing changed because he realized there was a way for him to get his personal will done through it. I mean, it's... Andrew, why do you follow Santa Rosa County so closely? Because I care. Because I care. And because
it's these juicy.
These things matter. These things matter. If you don't run an above-board operation across the board... And see, the other thing is, like, I really get irritated when politicians vent their personal vendettas against staff or just their personal foolishness winds up impugning staff, because the staff in both counties and all of our municipalities do tremendous work by and large. And I know that what they... It drives them crazy, and it'll drive them out of jobs. They'll leave if they feel like the environment is so adverse to them. So I always want to stick up for them and protect them. That's just as a citizen and as a, you know, person who believes in doing what's right, but also because as a taxpayer, it costs us money every time you have to get rid of somebody and replace them. And the number of people driven out by bad management or incompetent political leadership, that's really expensive. 6:54 on News Radio 92.3. Let's right up against 55. We'll do a traffic break, and then we'll come back. Go ahead.
Not showing any delays this morning. 9 Mile is looking good. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah into Pensacola. Dog Track Road is clear. No issues on Blue Angel Parkway either. And Gulf Beach Highway is looking good as well. I just want to take this moment to wish my mother a happy birthday today. Aww, love you, Mom.
That's cool. Love that. Congratulations. Happy birthday, Mom.
Yes.
6:55, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is Paul Epstein with Running Wild. Join me today at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Discover why we at Running Wild are the running and fitness experts in the Pensacola and Fairhope communities, specializing in fitting you in the best shoe, apparel, and training for your unique needs. We pride ourselves on serving, training, and encouraging you to reach your goals. So bring your questions today at 10.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The City of Pensacola Parks and Recreation offers many ways to help you get out and play. Take a stroll in one of their 93 parks, rent a kayak or a paddle boat at the brand new Bayview Outdoor Pursuit Center, or participate in one of the many exciting programs happening at Play Pensacola's 11 resource centers. Tennis courts, pools, dance, camps, community events, and more. The only thing missing is you. For more, visit playpensacola.com or follow social media at Play Pcola Parks. It's time to get out and play.
Hurricane season is here. Millions of people live in hurricane evacuation zones in Florida. This means that if an evacuation needs to happen, a lot of people need to get on the road. But if you're halfway full, you're halfway there. Keeping your gas tank at least half full during hurricane season ensures you won't have to wait in long lines to get gas when it's time to go. And you don't have to travel hundreds of miles. A half a tank of gas can easily get you to a safe location that's tens of miles away. For more tips, visit halfwayfullhalfwaydare.com.
This message is sponsored by the Florida Division of Emergency Management, Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
A-R-G-O-S, Argos! Go Argos!
Go Argos!
I am Claire Stewart with the University of West Florida. The UWF Historic Trust is hosting the third annual Bootleg Ball event on Friday, January 12, 2024. Join Wendy Davis on the Pensacola Expert Panel and learn how to support the Historic Trust while having a roaring good time. Tune in tomorrow at 9 a.m. to learn more about the Bootleg Ball. That's tomorrow on the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My heart only runs on Supreme.
Gallon of gas, 346. Florida's 324. Georgia, 294. California, 523. In Navarre, it's 287 east and west at the Walmarts. 289 at the foot of the Garson Point Bridge. 312 at the Exxon in Gulf Breeze proper. 294 at the Raceway in Milton. Same at the P. Ridge Murphy. 294 at your second station. The Raceway is your going through pace. If you're in Pensacola, you got, let's see, what's that number? 292 at the Walmart on 9 Mile. Same at the Murphy in front of the Walmart on US 29. And 292 at several stations like the Navy on the Murphy on Navy and the Navy on Murphy, and also the Shell on Cervantes. 6:58 News Radio 92.3. By the way, we've gotten so many texts in here about hit the nail on the head. That's bid rigging. This is incompetence. That's exactly the reason people leave these jobs. Man, you don't know the amount of work that goes into, you know, managing around this kind of bad leadership is unbelievable. David Wayne in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
SAG-AFTRA meeting with Hollywood's major studios again today to try to put an end to the actors' strike. It's gone on now over 110 days. Studios say they have to reach a deal this week or there won't be any new TV seasons for next year. The second person to receive a pig heart transplant has died. That was reported on Tuesday of this week. The man survived 6 weeks after it was implanted.
Very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. 6:59 here on News Radio 92.3. Coming up next hour, we'll talk to D.C. Reeves about red light cameras, about a training program for leadership for basically everybody who works for the city. A really fascinating idea. So we'll talk about that coming up next. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And by the way, you can always catch podcasts of the whole show at newsradio923.com.
You're listening to News Radio 92.3. WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.